Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Vonage, nigga. Vonage Greenspan, nigga. I just wanted to say, this dude sounds fake as fuck. The only hood he knows is on the back of his G-Unit sweatshirt.
Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the skies. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Are you gonna drop the bomb or not?
Probably bash his face in.
Let us die and now let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Can you imagine when this race is won? Turn our golden faces into the sun. Raising our leaders, we're getting in tune. The music's played by the...
Oh, his face is good as dashed. Yes, actually, I'm going to die blasted in a Biff Bing fight in memory of Evan Tanner. But that's Biff Bing's face in like a door. Vonage Greenspan, nigga.
Some are like water, some are like the beat. Some are a melody and some are the beat. Sooner or later, they all will be gone.
Just different kind of fruits aren't too thick. Cherries and pineapples.
Frank, you don't feel gay holding that thing and sipping it? Usually when you get gay drinks like that, they'll fucking stir it with their cock in the fucking back room.
Chris Leavitt.
Whoa, easy. Chris, are you going to
drink? You should Wikipedia me while I'll pass your face in.
What would you do to Fedor if you're in the cage or the ring with Fedor? What would you do to him?
Probably bash his face in.
Chris Lee.
You got nothing on Kimbo Slice.
Oh, his face is as good as bashed. I actually probably could beat him.
DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No. No. Yeah. No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, exclusive Tuesday Night programming. on HearUsTalk.com. Well, who would have guessed that your Tuesday Night Miracle would be Tuesday Night Programming? I don't know, but I'd guess they're German. Rammstein! Yes. Thank you for tuning into the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in with me, as always. A bald, hapless fuckface who, honestly, he is probably one of the best friends you'll ever have. His name is Frank. Frank, what's going on, buddy?
Wow, that was nice. That was a nice compliment. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I thought bald, hapless fuckface was a little too...
A little too harsh?
A little too harsh.
Well, you referred to me yesterday as sullen.
Well, yeah, you were very sullen yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, rightfully so, but you weren't being sullen for, you know, the reasons that I would accept.
Right, right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
I mean, we played this intro, and at this point, everybody knows. I mean, anybody who listens to the show knows that we've lost a very dear friend, Tidbit 88, Alex. He passed away from a long battle with cancer, and it's just been really fucked up. It's been very, very fucked up the last couple weeks, from the hospital to, you know, receiving news and just, you know, seeing somebody who was so full of life just go. That it's always hard, but when it's somebody like Alex who really was just a genuine friend and a likable person and someone so full of fucking energy, and it's just fucking tragic.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And just seeing the loved ones, you know, obviously, especially Barb and the you know, just the torment that she's going through is just too much to consume. But what can we say that hasn't already been said? Yeah. You know, that he was a great guy, down to earth.
Yeah.
He called in, you know, friend of the show here, and he's going to be sorely missed.
I mean, and not even just the show. I mean, there were many, many times that we would just be gathered in some kind of a pal talk room, not even doing a show, but just kind of enjoying each other's company in the new virtual fashion, and just entertaining each other.
We put on shows for ourselves. I mean, we did there'd be like, you know, it's usually like, you know, five or six of us in the room there, and we just would entertain ourselves with these ridiculous bits that we all knew were bits, but yet we still continue to do them.
Impressions, stunts, just dumb little things that you would do with your friends if you were looking at them right there. If you were sitting across the couch or across the room from somebody. The things that you would do if you wanted to make that person laugh, we would do that. And I would say that the person that I think never swung and missed was Alex. Because whenever he fucking made a move or whenever he stood out to do something to entertain somebody, it was always fucking just hilarious.
He was like a viper. I mean, he gave it, you know, he just, you know, he would just lunge out at you, and he was a viper. It was just awesome. He, you know, he's naturally funny, and I'm just blown away by the whole situation, and my heart goes out to Barb and his mother and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Barb's got to be among the strongest people right now. I mean,
oh, no doubt.
I mean, we went to a fabulous restaurant yesterday, Frank. You took us to a place. By the way, what was the name of the restaurant? It was a local Italian eatery.
Yeah, we went to a very fancy restaurant, very upscale restaurant, called Krabba's.
Called what?
Krabba's.
Krabba?
Krabba's.
Oh, you mean Krabba's, the mini mall Italian restaurant.
Well, if you want to call it that, you can, but I call it Krabba's.
Oh, okay. Well, I did call it that.
It's fine Italian cuisine.
But, I mean, we went there, and, you know, Barb's not you know, she's obviously dealing with this, but
I don't want to say this incorrectly.
I admire her strength is what I'm basically absolutely going for. Because I mean, I know that I would be a fucking just a wreck, and I wouldn't be able to go out. I wouldn't be able to do anything. You know?
No, she's definitely a rock, and she consoles other people. You know, so I admire her for that, and you know, she's a great friend.
Yeah. The thing about the restaurant, Frank.
Yes.
It's not Krabba's. I just want to correct you right now.
Yes, it's Krabba's. I don't know. Maybe you don't know how to pronounce a double R is pronounced Krr.
Well, a double R doesn't have a K sound.
No, it's R.
Now you're just turning everybody on, Frank, and you're getting away from, you know. I mean, again, this isn't going to be 2 hours of a memorial. I mean, although Alex deserves, you know, everything, it's just that at this point, I think people have said it far better than I could ever say it, and
you got to give your hat off to an individual by the name of Jeffrey Aaron Shane. He did a great memorial on the What Show.
It looks like you've already given your hair since you don't wear hats.
Oh.
But
and you know, he did a great thing. He got t-shirts and stuff like that. So he did a good job, and you know,
I mean it's a fitting memorial. You know, I mean, like that was the best example anybody could have put on.
Right.
I just didn't want to not say anything because I really did, you know, think very, very highly of Alex, and it sucks, you know, it just sucks. I don't want to slip into the cliches that people have told me when you know, I've lost loved ones, the anything you need, or the you know, it was God's plan. I don't want to slip into that.
You know, but if I could get deep here for a second.
Get deep, Frank.
You suffered a very similar situation, and so you could probably empathize, you know, especially with the loved one that you lost was for this, you know, the same reason. And
yeah, it's fine. I don't make a habit of speaking about this.
I understand.
But I'll, you know, for right now, I may as well. In 2000, I lost my oldest sister to cancer. She was only 32 years old, and it was devastating because when somebody is so young and they are so full of life, you couldn't possibly see the world without this person. You couldn't see your life existing without this person. So you naturally think they're going to get better, and you think that, you know, whatever, oh, cancer, sure, people get better all the time. Naturally, this young person is going to do that. And when it doesn't, and when they're taken from you, or they die, or, you know, you always feel like they're taken from you. So that's why I say that.
And
when they do pass, it's just so much more fucking devastating than someone who lived a life of 90 who you knew was going to eventually pass on.
And I mean, the song is very apropos. I mean, we will forever remember Alex, you know, as the kid with the baseball hat on and the gold lamé shoes and everything. So, you know, he's forever young in our hearts.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a moment that I ever pictured him as like an old dude or an old soul. He was always very youthful and fun, and I thought that song was perfect, and I played it for you, and you said that your hair stood on end or something like that. You expressed...
I got a little choked up. I got to be honest with you. It was very. I had actually never. I mean, that's from my era, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is.
And I had
is.
Never heard that song.
I would. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being corrected. They're asking which hairs could have possibly stood on end. For you.
It was one of those on my ass and back.
Yeah. You may not know it, but I do from conversations with Frank. Frank looks like he put fucking carpenter's glue on the back of his legs and his back and laid down in a barbershop.
No, excuse me, but you know, when we were visiting recently, You had mentioned that I have very nice calves. You and Jeffrey had mentioned I have very nice calves.
I did it to... Listen, first of all, you do. Okay, so... Second of all, I did it to see if it would unnerve you.
No. You said I had a very nice calf.
But I didn't look at your calf and do that. You pulled your pant leg up and fucking showed your calf to me. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Well...
What am I supposed to say, Frank?
I mean, you could have said not. You could have just not said anything.
And only one of them's good. The other one's like a fucking peg leg.
Oh my god!
You look like you had rehab on that one leg.
But what happened is the hair on my calves. It's not as thick as it used to be when I was a youngster.
Yeah. No, it isn't. But that's it's because you wear socks and all. I'm surprised you didn't hear this song actually, Frank.
Yeah, I never heard it. I you know, I what can I say? You had recommended you had I think you had mentioned the name of the song. The guy says I'm not familiar with this, and then you played it for me, and it was very touching and apropos, and I'm glad you chose it.
Yeah, I am as well. I mean, well, when you try to think of a song to play when you're kind of doing something like this, whether it's you're creating a collage or some kind of presentation.
Right. Well, the ones you hate, you hate. And this is probably the song that's been played the most is the Green Day song, Time of Your Life. Is that how it goes? Time of Your Life?
Here's the reason. There's a couple reasons why I hate it. The second reason why it's completely inappropriate to play when someone dies is because the real title is called Good Riddance. The fucking title of the song is called Good Riddance. It's not something you fucking play when someone you love dies. And people seem to fucking make this out to be like the ultimate tribute song or whatever. Oh, listen. Frank, do you know what I hear when I hear this song?
What I think of is the Seinfeld clip show.
Yeah. It's a sitcom is being canceled. The lighter side of late 90s K-Rock. Or whatever. It's just terrible. But this comes up all the time when these type of things need to come about. Good Riddance. Let's play that one. No, I don't think so. Inappropriate, I would say. But you like that one because of Seinfeld.
I like the song. It's the only song I know by the group. I do like it.
And very often that will be the only Green Day song people of your age know. I mean, it's the only one that gets play in senior citizen homes and in adult daycares. So
it's a lovely song.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you know what? The first time you hear it, you're like, "Oh, what a nice song." There's strings in it. And then the second time you hear it, it's like, "Okay, this is garbage. This is absolute garbage. Let's move on from there." And what else, Frank? What are some of the other songs? Have you ever heard of a group called Boys to Men?
I have, yes.
Yeah. This is one that, you know, people like to turn to when something really, really sad comes up. You'll say, you know, I need a really sad song for something. Put on Boys to Men! And, you know, it's on a list of these songs, right? But, you know, it was cancer. There's no gang shooting involved. It's not the movie Soul Food or Boys in the Hood or even The Wood or Juice. It's just not appropriate. But I will say... Nobody knows the words, by the way.
Is this the Bobby Brown former group?
No, Bobby Brown was in this. That was... What was that? Which one was he in?
Oh, he was a New Edition.
New Edition, yeah. Which was the Bell Biv DeVoe of their day.
Yeah. Yeah, Bell Biv DeVoe evolved off of a New Edition,
which was the predecessor to such supergroups as Another Bad Creation, with their hit Aisha and that dun, 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 break in every fucking song.
And they were also the premonition of Crisscross and Jump.
Yeah, you know what was the deal in the 90s with the two to three black kids with no shirts, working out on playgrounds, singing songs about school loves and wanting to beat people's asses. I don't understand. But we're getting away from that. Boys to Men, definitely not appropriate in this case. And another one, Frank, probably from your adolescence.
The Beatles? That's your... Is that something that you're familiar with? Are you familiar with the Beatles?
Yeah, I have heard of the Beatles, I think, as most individuals have.
Yeah, you see what it sucks when people do that, doesn't it, Frank? When you ask somebody if they're aware of a very obvious thing.
Oh, I see what you're doing right now.
Yeah, thank you.
But if I just interject, please. We may have a phone caller in a little bit who will shed light on something that I had taken place with me over the last couple of days. But we'll see. It's a possibility. The Beatles song, okay. Was that the back in the USSR?
Yeah, and no, Helter Skelter. Yeah.
Oh.
No, the song that everybody goes to when they want to, because the goal is to evoke emotion, Frank. You want people to think of their life. You want people to think of the person.
It's called tugging on your heartstrings.
Yeah, I guess it's called that in your quilting bee circles. I guess it's called that. But this song is In My Life, and, you know, it works. Believe me, it works 100%. And this was used in a tribute that someone had put together for Rich, the solipsist. And it works, and that'll get to you. But, like, it seems a little bit too commercial to me. Like, you should be selling Kodak film with this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this has been used in numerous commercials and advertisements.
You know what it would be? It's like when they make commercials out of collages of pictures, and the people... start off as kids and then they're old at the end. It's that type of thing.
Absolutely. They're sitting on a front porch somewhere.
Yeah.
And then somebody runs away. It goes over. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. So, I mean, we went with the Alphaville song, Forever Young.
Yeah.
I mean, the deal with that is that we thought that he was truly someone that you could never think of as old.
Right. And even if he was old, he'd still be young at heart. And I think it was a very good choice. And I like I said to you, you had played this for me this morning, the intro song. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie. I got a little misty eyed. I'm not gonna lie.
I almost did. While I was hearing it for the show, I mean, it just drew it out of me. There is one more song though, and this one is no bullshit here. I was very, very close to picking this song, and 100% not a joke. I almost picked Curtis Blow Basketball, because I honestly think he would have fucking appreciated this, and it goes back to us being in the Pal Talk room and just talking, and he brought this song to me. I mean, actually, Barb did, but whenever it was played, I could see Alex cheering it on, despite Barb not enjoying this piece of shit fucking song.
You know, he would call my office at 3 o'clock in the morning, and just do these, just call, you know, these prank phony phone calls.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I wish I saved him. I wish I saved him.
Well, you'll have to try to hope that your memory doesn't fade out. We did have a call, and I fucked it up, Frank. So.
Oh no.
Well, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was Jeff. I missed. I had him on hold, and then like I think he hung up.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah.
Him.
Excuse me.
Nothing.
Is there something going on? I mean, you just praised the man for.
No, I'm just fucking around. No, I'm just kidding around.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I was gonna do the Curtis Blow Basketball. I was honestly thinking of having it cut in at the end of this, but I don't know, Frank. So you think I did well?
I think it was a great song, and I listened to the song and I like it, and I think you did good, and I think Alex would be happy. And that's the important thing.
It is. I mean, I know I didn't do as good a job as he deserves, and I've been obsessing over it, and going through old shows. I mean, he's called in. I mean, just look at what he's done on the What Show. You know, every episode it's a new fucking name. It's a little bit difficult to track, Manuel Floppy Ears or whatever the fuck, you know, random names call into various episodes. So you end up searching through, you know, the archives for
and he always gave us
Chris Lieben or Vonage Greenspan.
He always gave us an homage by mentioning, you know, the better show. So,
well, yeah, but he called it the better show,
right?
Are you saying that it is the better show? I mean, are you throwing down the fucking gauntlet, Frank? Is that what it is?
Oh no! I'm just saying, you know. I'm just fucking around.
Jesus Christ!
I'm kidding. I'm just making it funny if I can.
Yeah, I remember, you know, the first time that he did that. I think he did it like two or three times in that first episode. I'm not even sure. And then it just he kept doing it, and I even watched recently the video of him doing it live at the Labor Day event as Walter. He walked up to the mic and did it as Walter.
He also liked using the abbreviation MC. He used like Mick thing, like a lot of Mick stuff.
It's a very funny thing to have a MC before your real name. It's a very, very funny thing. Extra syllables, Frank.
Yes.
Extra funny. I don't know. What do you want to take a quick break here?
I think we should take a little break. My ass is very itchy and I want to wipe it.
Why? Your ass is very itchy.
Yeah.
What's going on with your ass, Frank? I mean, honestly, I don't think friends should ever have to say that. But let's go. What happened?
I usually use the facility. I usually, you know, move my movements and then take a shower and sterilize my anus. But
you sterilize your anus?
Well, you know, I just wash it and sanitize it. But what happened was showered.
You wash it and then what does sanitizing your ass mean after washing it?
Just, you know, some isopropyl alcohol.
You put rubbing alcohol in your fucking asshole?
Well, I just pour it on the outside of it.
And your ass itches.
Yes.
Do you realize that shit dries your skin?
Excuse me?
I mean, the reason you put it on acne or rub it on your face is to dry grease or, you know, get excess moisture off of your skin. You've already cleaned your asshole probably with soap, and then you're putting rubbing alcohol on it. You're turning it into fucking tanned leather.
No, so what I did was I my routine was messed up today, and let's just say I showered first. Let's just put it that way, and it messed me up. But you know, whatever the case is, I'd like to use the services of my bathroom, if I may.
Oh, you have to do it now. Are you gonna actually, you know, do what people do when they go to the bathroom, or are you just gonna try to wick it down and put some kind of fucking lotion on it?
I don't know. I'll see what we have in the laboratory.
Okay. Well, this is the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears, Frank, and what?
The place to be!
Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show. Radio. Bronze.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to episode 229 of the DJ New Style Show. In an effort to help those of you who may have missed the last episode, I've hired the blackest text-to-speech voice I could find to quickly sum up what you've missed. Take it away, U.S. English Rich.
This shit happened last time.
After a long time of searching, the hole was found.
Oh, shit.
You know that, you know, what would you think of a place if I told you, hey, Frank, let's go to this place. It's infested with rats.
Well, but you know as well as I know that this has nothing to do with the way my house is run.
Goddamn.
It's going to subdue you, cut you, and let you bleed out. It's a fucking rat. It's smaller than your foot. Stomp on it, you fucking dope. Why are you fucking crying?
I'm scared. It's gonna kill me. It's gonna hurt me and bite my throat and give me rabies and make me and it may even turn me into a rat too.
Oh shit!
Yes.
What was it that you agreed to do?
I will have to address him as scrambled champion of all time whenever I come into his contact. That's all.
I mean, that's definitely on par with, you know, permanently marring your skin. So it's a very good.
Goddamn.
You are the worst at going along with anything. Okay, Frank. Okay, Frank. Okay, I'll do it, Frank.
I have one fucking minuscule impression, and you gotta fucking drag it out. One little millisecond of an impression, you gotta drag it out. All I'm asking you is how long for it before the food is ready, and then I'll give you my impression.
15 minutes!
Fuck you! You son of a bitch! You prick!
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you asked me! I thought you asked me!
You jackass!
Bullshit.
Every sig pig is a fucking black penis going into some friend or enemy that they have. Or several. Somebody just standing around a cascade of black penises. That's the ideal sig pig for Fuck the Bag.
Goddamn.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And you said in 2 weeks, we will get you revealing your AIDS test on our show.
Yes, I will. I will even call this week while I'm up here. In that
mark these words. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
How about that shit? This shit is happening right now.
The DJ New Style Show.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio, and you are listening to the DJ New Style Show live on HearUsTalk.com. Join us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Best in Show Radio.
As I was saying a moment ago at the beginning of the show, if you guys noticed, there was a pretty long, dramatic, crazy intro about some history of the show. I don't know. Keith, do you have a story you want to tell us?
Well, back in January, I was talking on a show about how my wife, I had caught her sending an email or exchanging emails with a guy about, you know, secretly meeting behind my back for lunch and, you know, and but I mean, she did convince me that it was just, you know, that they were friends, and I had asked her not to hang out with him because I didn't like him for some reason. Well, let's put it this way. Let's fast forward to today where I have this nice, awesome bachelor pad. The apartment I lived with my current but soon to be former wife, who is no longer my wife because she forgot that you're not supposed to have a boyfriend while you're married.
As it turns out, all of us who told you, yeah, man, you're making way too big a deal out of this, yeah, we were all wrong. Apparently, we were all wrong, and you were 100% right.
And I see the number come up, and I'm like, seriously? I was like, you really need to talk to this guy? Like, what's the deal? And she's like, it just made me mad that you told me I can't be friends with someone, and there's no reason, there's nothing going on, and just because you're suspicious of him for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. Just because you're suspicious of him because he wants to have sex with me. I mean, like, just because, like, that means something.
Be sure to check out HearUsTalk.com and the Pal Talk Heroes Talk Radio chat room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. for the DJ New Style Show and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Best in Show Radio. Hear Us Talk, loving it live.
Lucky you, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show. Dick.
Oh, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. Entertaining talk radio. Thank you for stopping by, checking us out. Be sure to do the same for The What Show and Best in Show Radio. Every Thursday night, Best in Show, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And every Friday night, it's The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 in the a.m. All this at HearUsTalk.com. Now, Frank, are you there, Frank?
I am.
Now, when you think video chat, right? Video chat, what do you think of?
I think of one thing.
What's that?
I see you too.
You know what? I think of that as well. I think of an award-winning program. Are you aware of this, Frank?
I is.
The 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication. That's right, ICU2, that's ICU2.com. Sure, there's many of these services, these video and chat services out there, sure. But ICU2.
A whole bunch of them.
Absolutely, you could fucking throw a dart and hit seven of them. But you know what? ICU2's been doing it longer than all of them. That's right. Simply download ICU2 to your Windows PC, and in seconds you'll be face-to-face with people from all over the world. That's your face, you know, whatever it looks like, and their faces just staring at you. What can you make happen when that's the situation, Frank? What could you possibly do? Could you find someone to bed down? Maybe. Could you find someone to give you a nice chuckle? Could you find somebody to make fun of? Yes to everything there. And it's all at ICU2.com. It's free to try. Download it. Use it. the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication, ICU2 Video Chat. I just get really psyched up about ICU2, Frank.
I know you do. You get excited.
Sometimes I do. I you know what? Sometimes I do. God. You know.
You told me you got a boner last time.
Using ICU2?
Yes.
Absolutely. When don't I get a boner? Using ICU2. You could be face to boner any place. Absolutely. Now, Frank, where did we go to dinner last night? I was trying to remember the name over the break.
We went to an Italian eatery. Some people call it Italian cuisine. It's called, Carrabba's.
Yeah.
In my hometown.
And, joining us right now, probably from an airport.
Oh!
Are you there, sir? Can you hear me?
Oh, please.
Oh, it ended. It fucking... Ugh. Yeah, he could... I don't know if he could hear us. So there's that, Frank.
All right. That's good.
That's real good. Well, anyway. Yeah. Frank, who accompanied us to this this fine meal?
We had the likes of DJ Newstyle.
I was there.
We had the likes of Dan and Cal.
Excuse me?
Dan and Cal.
But he's in Cal.
Oh, he was in Jersey.
The fuck is that? Did you ring a bell?
I just want you to let you know that Skype is now working. Restart it. That's a message that I received by someone. We also had a fourth person by the name of Barb.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking that you would have mentioned Barb before, you know, revealing Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dan, who is usually in Cal.
Well, I got excited. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you did get excited. You know, can't fault you there. Can't fault you there. So I restarted Skype, and you know what, Frank?
Yes.
I hope it works. Is all I'm going to say.
Me too.
It's your ass. Let's see. Are you there? Can you hear me? I hear him. Oh, this is a fucking disaster. Are you there? Yeah, well, you know what, Frank? We're going to have to wait until probably next week to get his account of the situation.
All right.
I mean, that's just how it's going to have to work. So
what happens?
Well, I mean, the reason we need an account of the situation, Frank, is because...
Well, why don't you give him a little tease, if you will?
I'm going to do exactly that. There's Dan and Cal, he's one of the people that, you know, we would frequent the Pal Talk room, and he stopped by to pay his respects to our buddy Tidbit 88 Alex, and he was in New Jersey for this, obviously. Frank, where did he stay?
He flew from California to New Jersey.
God damn it.
Yes, I hear you.
Oh!
Can you hear me? I can't hear you at all.
I hear you. I hear you. You son of a bitch bastard.
He can't hear us, though.
Hold on. Fuck. I hear him. I do hear him. Ain't that a bitch? Yeah, I don't know. Fuck it. Oh, shit. Yeah, tell him. Can you tell him to call back? Could you tell him to call back?
I will do that.
Via text, because
I will do that.
We only have a very, very brief time, as he's going to a connecting flight.
Yes, he's from Denver.
Fuck it, I'll call him. How about that?
Good job.
Anyway, Frank.
Yes.
Hello, I'm not even answering my
phone. Whoa! Okay. We don't want any personal information given out. So, Frank, you took us to a fabulous restaurant called Carrabba's.
Yes.
And
you know what? Ken, if I may call you that, okay, it's done. It's fixed now. Yeah, we went – listen. We went to you don't know what good cuisine is. I mean, you used to throw burgers down your throat. You know what I'm saying? I took you to a very fancy restaurant.
Yeah. No, nothing says fancy like booth seating and being attached to a strip mall.
Right.
It's really good. No, I love it, Frank. And the fact that There are 18 Carrabba's that I've seen in this state alone. Very fancy. You took me to a chain restaurant, Frank. And not me.
No matter what restaurant I would have taken you to, you would have been dissatisfied and sat there with a puss on your face.
Did I sit there with a puss on my face, Frank?
No, you pretty much complained about everything, though.
Yeah, hold on. I hope he can hear me.
God damn it.
Fuck!
Yeah!
Dan.
What is up?
What's up, Danny boy?
Yeah, I have a limited amount of time, but I figured
okay,
I would make
here's
a call,
deal.
So.
Nice. Thank you, Dan.
Dan and Cal had VIP access, backstage passes, to my house.
Really?
Dan and Cal stayed at my house while he was here.
Yeah, this is true. I'm here to report on my three-day stay in the Germ Freak house. And
now,
I know
now
for the better part of about 2 years here.
Are you there, Ken?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, continue,
Dan. I don't have people sleeping over my house. I've never done this before.
Frank.
I don't have
Frank,
people.
Frank,
yes.
You have 2 hours to explain this.
I apologize.
Can you let Dan speak, please?
Well, I just want to report that all the naysayers, every single time he's gone into, you know, his rant about this and explaining how he does things and the use of Purell and the toilet use of his house, I'm here to report that this is all 100% true. I'm telling you, this guy is a germ freak. There's no fucking doubt about it. I mean, from the moment I stepped into his car to the moment I walked out of his house, he had all kinds of rules for me. I mean, there was all kinds of requirements. Before I even came to the house, probably for the first 24 hours, he knew I was going to come. He mentioned the word stray puke to me at least 18 times.
Right. I told Dan that he had to shave down before entering my house. I did not want any of his stray pubes. Let's face it. He was in my bathroom taking a shower. There was a naked
Excuse
man
me?
Who was not me in my shower.
Wow.
Okay.
I thought you would have made him do
Excuse
like.
Excuse me.
No, I said, boy, did I shower. I was so dirty too.
Oh man.
Do you realize this is like discovering plutonium? A man stayed in my friggin' house. And went in my shower.
Yeah,
he washed his balls in my shower.
For us and for Dan, it's no big deal because Jane Goodall did all of this with fucking lowland gorillas years before. It's just amazing to you because you're afraid of dirt and feces and other people.
I had another man in my house showering. He was naked in my shower washing his balls and his ass. I said to him, you have to make sure your pubes are not going to straggle off and go in the bathtub where my kids bathe.
Wait,
I do not want any stray pubes going in my kids' private areas.
Now, Dan, was this the same shower that Donna also uses?
I hope so, Ken.
Oh.
No!
Oh, you know he jacked it in that shower, Frank. You know
oh,
it.
No.
You have
well,
to.
There were many rules.
There were
I
rules.
I'd just like to point out a few of them. He had strict rules about showering. And a couple of them that I had to air dry my balls and ass crack.
Right. I don't listen. We were nice enough to provide him with fresh towels and linens, but I didn't want his fucking towel drying his balls and asshole crack. So he was only allowed to dry himself, everything except his balls, his dick, and his asshole. Those had to be air dried.
So I did some improvisation. I used the jumping jacks method after I got out of the shower. And I also, you know, I started to, you know, I was very appreciative to be able to experience this. I could have stayed at a hotel. I'm not going to lie to you. It could have been very easy for me to stay at a hotel, but I wanted the full show. And I started, the first shower I took, there were three towels there for my use for the 3 days. And two of them were brown. And I said, I'm just going to go with the brown one, just in case. So everything will just blend right in. No problem.
Wow! So you ignored his no asshole on the towel rule.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I just rang that thing out. I mean, nice and dry.
Well, here's the deal. Now the shower he utilized was the kid's bathroom shower, because there's no fucking way he's even entering my friggin' bedroom. Okay.
So you okay? let him do what you know he was gonna
right.
do
now
in your kid's shower.
No, while he was using that bathroom, the kids were forbidden to use that fucking shower. They had to use my fucking shower.
So Dan, you didn't care. You wanted to see if this was 100% for real. You wanted to see how nervous he would get. You wanted to get a genuine experience.
Dan, have you ever been to Disneyland before? Because this is the feeling I had. I mean, I wanted the full show, and I got it. It was like an amusement park from the very start. Let me just point out that he did pick me up at the airport, and you know, I don't know what anybody's heard about his driving ability, but it is horrible. He's a horrible driver.
Very, very bad.
Okay. If anybody's out there that's really down on life, thinking about, you know, maybe this is the end, how should I end it, just take a ride with the germ freak.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you know, people that are out of state are confused by the jug handles. And apparently, Frank, you've lived here all your life, and so were you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was honked at least 2 to 3 times in the couple days that we drove. I've been honked at 2 times in the last 20 years, so I just can't even imagine how bad it is.
And what about what is my procedure for deciding on whether I'm taking – there's a fork in the road or something. What do I do in that situation?
Okay. So when we're driving and there's a turn off to the right, he's not quite sure if he's going to – he just goes straight into the median. Just I'm just going to take it into the median as far as I can and then just make the turn. That's what he does.
Jesus.
Yeah, pretty scary shit.
but he had a rule.
One thing – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, you know my – you're familiar with my public bathroom, right, Ken?
Yeah, obviously. Okay. The one that you make everybody go into.
Right. He was only allowed to use the toilet in the public bathroom. Even though he was able to shower in the kids' bathroom, he was not allowed to use the toilet in the kids' bathroom.
Frank, let me ask you something. When you're in the pool and you have to urinate, are you going to leave that pool?
What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is if he gets out of the shower and he has to shit or piss, he's not getting dressed to go and shit or piss.
No.
He's doing it in that bathroom. Now let me ask him. Here he is. We have the source. Dan, did you break the rule of no shitting or pissing in the children's toilet?
I didn't break that rule, Ken. No.
Wow. Wait, that rule? What do you mean that rule?
What?
More on that later.
Excuse me?
Let's get to something. I think I'm the original dubber of this one, and I have to admit that he is
the inconsistent germaphobe.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay? This guy's car is so disgusting, okay? Just grease and grime and garbage on the floor and cups and silverware and this and that. And not only that, bits of lettuce all over the place. I mean, if I took all the bits of lettuce and glued them all, it would be an entire head of lettuce strewn about his car.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Absolutely. Frank, why don't you have any fucking pride?
What happens is when I eat my lunch, the lettuce will fall off, and then it just hardens and gets crusty, and it's hard to scrape off. So I just leave it there. Last time I got my car clean was summer of 2003.
Well, I mean, why don't you clean it, is what I'm saying. You're the one who's using the floor as the garbage can, right? I mean, Dan, is it apparent that he just takes shit and just throws it on the floor?
Up to my ankles in garbage.
Oh, jeez.
Everywhere.
And he's the one surprised that there's rats where he lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I did check out the rat situation, and I'm happy to report that, there are no rats there currently, but there was definitely rats in that house, and probably a lot more.
I hope they don't get wind of the salad bar on the bottom of your fucking Mercury Sable.
Oh, man. And you know, we've heard her on the show before. We all love her. Anybody who's ever heard her before, and if you ever have the opportunity to meet her, I mean, I just like to say that it is true that your wife Donna is a saint. A saint.
100%.
She is the best.
The best. By the way, Frank, I want to point out that the Green Ninja wrote in the Palo Talk Room, Donna's hot.
Excuse me.
Oh yeah. I told Frank as soon as I met her, and she kind of walked out of the room, I just turned and said, you better not fuck that up.
That's what he said to me. Yeah. He said to me, you better not fucking fuck that up.
I mean, if you could get her to not burn a cup of coffee, Frank, she'd be the perfect woman, I would say.
I knew it was
coming. It was reiterated last night. We were all hanging out, and Barb and I were sharing a moment, and I just tapped her, and I said, I mean, come on already. And here's the deal. If you do ever fuck this up, Frank, it's a 50-50 joint custody split between me and Barb. We get Donna. We will take her.
Oh, boy.
All right. I have a question for both of you.
Okay.
Both Frank and you, Ken.
Yep.
And you need to you need total disclosure here and be honest. Who is the Wii champion?
Frank, why don't you
Who's
say
the
Wii champion? I can't bring myself to say it.
Wow.
Let's just say we had to go out of state to get a new Wii champion. Our very own Dan and Cal is the champion of Wii. He had soundly defeated me. And
He crushed you and humiliated you.
I'm not humiliated. I'm proud to say that his skills in Wii sports are superior to mine. He didn't gloat. He even helped me learn the games that I hadn't played.
Uh-huh. And who beat you in fencing?
You needed help, Ken.
I did. I didn't know how to play.
And who's the champion of jousting or fencing, if you will?
And Frank, Dan is. Dan beat you.
No.
Dan beat both of us. Remember?
Who beat you in jousting?
Frank, the question was from Dan, who is the Wii champion? Obviously, right. It's Dan and Cal. Right. Dan and Cal flew over here and became the Wii champion of Heroes Talk.
Listen, as I was telling Dan, there's nothing more thrilling than watching New Style lose. Because even though it says it doesn't bother him, it's eating him out inside. It's just killing him.
For some reason, it didn't kill me when I lost to Dan. And I'm guessing it's because he didn't gloat and tell me how he's going to kick my ass by waving a controller at a screen.
Not only did you not do that, Ken, when you finally lost, you didn't have to open up the sliding glass door and scream like you're howling at the moon.
Every time Frank loses, The sliding door next to his TV gets flung open, hits the fucking foundation of the house, shakes the rafters, his kids wake up from bed, and he screams outside. No wonder your fucking neighbors hate you. You think it's because the kids make noise when they're enjoying the pool?
What about when I got winded and I almost threw up outside?
Yeah, we were playing the Wii Sports Resort game, and I guess there was a sword fight game that you can do. You have to vigorously move your sword to fight, and after round one, Frank lost it. He lost his wind and ability to move. He had to get fresh air, and in doing so, he nearly puked all over his patio. So,
yeah, but, I mean, there was one little quite weird moment. I mean, there were a lot of them actually.
Yeah.
But there was one very weird moment, and it was just me and him, and we're gonna watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he brings down big old mug of coffee, and he just sits down on the ground, and then just as he's taking his first sip, just spills coffee all over the ground. You know, we've all done it. I've done it.
Absolutely.
You know, not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm kind of behind this, and he comes down, and he's spraying it, and he's rubbing it, but I notice that he could have taken two positions. He could have faced me, like, head-to-head while he was doing the cleaning, but he chose to go ass in my face and arching it up and
Jesus
showing his crack. And after further questioning, he admitted it. He spilled the coffee on purpose just to show me that.
Jesus
what?
Christ.
That's a goddamn lie.
I don't know about that, Frank. I don't know about that. For some reason, you like to have your crack slip on cameras and in front of people because you think it makes them uncomfortable. It just grosses them out. You don't know that, but you think it's just an awkward moment that you're putting people into, and you like that for some reason.
Now, there was another great moment of vindication, and it all came for us last night.
Yes.
Okay? Ken, hey. Ken, also a great guy. Ken picked up dinner last night. You know, I said, hey, let's
Don't
go
mention
out to
it.
Dinner. Maybe we should go out someplace nice. Frank, where should we go? Frank, where did we go last night?
Carrabba's.
Yeah.
Yeah, strip mall Italian
you know
restaurant.
What? You can all go fuck yourselves.
I was so embarrassed, Frank. I just said, you know, just put the fucking check over. I just want this to end. I want to save this somehow. So I decided to pick it up.
and it was beautiful. Picked up a check. It was a great thing. But here's the weird thing, you know, and he did this two times, okay? Once when, you know, picked up at the airport, him, Barb, and I went out to a diner, of course, and you know, we're ordering our food, and she orders a Florentine omelet. Mm-hmm. I order a short stack, and then he comes to Frank. What would you like? I'll take what she's having. And I kind of pointed out, and I gave him some shit about it, right? And we didn't go too heavy on it. But last night at Carrabba's, you know, I ordered my food, she ordered her food, Ken orders where he orders, and the waitress says, what would you like? And he goes, the same thing he's having. Again, he did the same thing.
Yeah.
And when it was time for the food to come, okay,
yep.
The waitress comes to the table, drops out the food, and I said, hold on a second, let me ask you something. Is it cool to order the same thing as another person at the table? And what did she say, Frank?
She said, absolutely not.
She looked at you and said, no, it's not cool. And then went in and then explained even further why it's not cool. Because you should try other things. You should think for yourself. Oh, it was a great moment, Frank. Because I was irritated at you. I was legitimately fucking furious.
Why?
Because here's the deal. By you sitting next to me, ordering the same fucking thing, it looks as though I've ordered a large helping and said, could you just put it on two plates? We're
right.
Sharing.
And then,
as much as you might want it to happen in your fucking subconscious, we're not a gay couple. Do you understand that, Frank? I'm done fucking being forced into sharing meals. You will order before me every time now.
All right.
You will order before me. I can't be having the same fucking plate put in front of me as you.
All right. Duly noted.
Jesus Christ.
I had a really great time at the house, and one of the most brightest moments was getting to meet his family, of course, and it looks like his son Luke, who we've, you know, heard on the show or heard of on the show, looks like Luke's got a new best friend, and it went so far that Luke enjoyed my company so much, hanging out and goofing around, that on Monday, Luke decided to fake sick so he'd stay home and play with me all day.
Now, Frank,
and what did he do at the bottom of the stairs, Dan?
Oh, yeah. So when I was going for one of my, ball scrubbing showers, I went upstairs, and him and I were playing some hoops and goofing around. And so, hey, listen, I need to go take a shower. I'm going to go upstairs. And I go upstairs, and I take a shower, and I'm done, and I'm walking downstairs, and I almost stepped on him because while I was taking a shower, he decided to lay on the bottom of the stairs and wait for me to finish.
Oh my God! Now, Dan, did you ever exit the shower with like the towel on in front of Donna and just like accent? Whoops! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so clumsy.
No, but I think I can make that work next time, and I think she'll be into it. So
there it is. There it
is. Now, the circumstances that I came out there for, not the best, you know.
No.
We said it many times. Everybody, you know, as I met everybody, we kind of always said the same thing. But, you know, it was really great to meet, you know, of course, both of you, Barb, Ed, everybody else who, you know, I talked to the most. But a lot of people that I know of but probably don't know me, and I would introduce them. And as soon as they would start figuring out that I was staying with Frank, all of a sudden, this weird look would come on their face, and they would start requesting me to leave little souvenirs of German food all over his house.
Yeah.
And I would like to report that there was a contest on this, and we do have two winners.
Really?
Yeah. The winners of this contest, and there are multiple winners,
okay.
Ed McGrath is a winner. Ed McGrath, I'd just like to report, Ed, one drop on the office chair, and that's all I'm going to say.
Wow!
Excuse me?
Wow!
Pardon me?
A drop of, and not naming what it is, has been put on Frank's office chair, where he spends his life.
Oh.
You're sitting on it now, aren't you, Frank?
I am.
And you don't know what that drop is, do you?
No, I don't.
Could be ketchup? I'm guessing it probably isn't. You know, it could be anywhere from, you know, purified water to semen.
You know,
it could be anything.
there was a point. I just want to just little change subject a little bit. During the memorial service, there was a point in the service where we all had to hold hands.
Yes.
And you held my wife's hand.
Oh boy, did I!
Yes, and a little too tightly, and I actually saw your thumb caressing the back of her hand.
Yeah, you know, you do nice to Donna. I mean, she even said, you know, she loves cock flashes. That's what she just said. She has needs, you know.
And you were holding two guys' hands, Ed and Dan, right?
You just said I was holding Donna's hand, and you said, and then you asked if I was holding two guys' hands. your wife should put a heel on and step on your fucking testicles.
No. Who were you holding hands with besides my wife?
Dan and Cal, and okay. Donna.
Okay.
And I was holding hands with Ken and Ed McGrath.
And by the way, when we were asked to show Let Our Love Be Felt, I squeezed.
Oh boy!
Oh yeah!
I squeezed.
Oh yeah! Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, both of them noticed.
Oh gosh!
It was gentle. I mean, it was gentle but nice.
Well, I mean, with Dan, it's done out of respect.
Let me do this really quick, because I had to catch my plane here. Okay?
Okay, very good.
I don't know if you caught the second winner of the contest or not, but it was sheepy, and because my right ball hangs lower than my left one, it was just the right ball on the microphone that Frank's speaking into right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The headset mic was just touching his lips.
You know, I was wondering what this thing, this hair on here was.
Straight pubes.
All right, I got to catch my plane, guys.
Dan,
it's really great to meet you guys.
Likewise,
and
buddy.
And everybody else there that I was able to meet. And I will be back. I will be back. New Jersey, my second favorite state in the world.
Very good.
All right, I'm
very
out.
Very good.
Thanks, buddy.
Dan, thank you. Have a safe flight, buddy. It was nice meeting you, buddy. How many times can I say buddy? I got to tell you, I was dumbfounded when I saw Dan there. I didn't know how to fucking react. I didn't. This is a person I see in a 2-inch camera screen, in a chat room. This is somebody I've known, you know, for years now, just through the computer, and here he is.
It was
bizarre.
And I'm sure you have no problem admitting that when you were the first one to leave that evening, and you guys hugged.
Yeah, of course.
Your nipples touched.
Yeah. Yeah, I made sure that my one nipple connected with the with his nipple. That's how, you know, friends hug.
I see.
You know? Frank, when you hugged Dan, did you
I didn't try to line up nipples.
Oh, well, you got to do that.
I didn't know that was the procedure.
I think that's what it is, isn't it?
I don't know.
I guess I'll never know. Frank, do you want to try that?
No.
It just happened that way. I didn't fucking plan it, Frank. It was awkward, so I made a joke out of it. I didn't feel comfortable.
You don't feel comfortable hugging a guy?
No. A farewell, like a see you later, buddy type of hug or something with a pat once on the back. No big deal. But if your nipples happen to be perfectly lined up for some reason because you're going for like a 3/4 hug, a side hug even, It's a little bit of an issue.
Why don't you admit your nipple got hard?
It did not get hard. Dan,
you told me.
Dan's calling again. Dan, what's up? Uh-oh. I hope
he knows he called.
He's accidentally calling. Oh, God, we're going to hear, I'll have the vegetarian lasagna. I'm from Cal, after all. Okay, I hung up on him. We don't need any private info getting out with him. But Frank, would you say that your son likes him more than you?
I would not say that. I would say that Dan is more of a sports person than I am, and I don't partake in sports. So, you know, he was playing a lot of sports with him, which he's not used to.
Okay, Frank, fair enough. You think that Luke prefers you to Dan?
Well, I am his father.
Okay, so if you were to say, Luke, we'll bring Dan back, but I have to go away forever. What would he say?
We should ask him.
Why don't you?
I will ask him. Obviously, he's sleeping now, but I will ask him.
Okay, next time he's awake. I need this recorded. I need an unbiased answer. If I could bring Dan here and I go away forever, this is gonna screw him up too. I don't know if it's the best idea, but for the show, Frank, it might interest me to hear the answer for that. You know what? I think I'm going to need to take a break, Frank. And then we'll get organized and we'll wrap up this son of a bitch. Are you there?
I'm waiting for you to leave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what would I be leaving, Frank?
To go to break.
Yeah, but what? A break in what?
Break of the show.
What show?
No, that's on Friday night.
It's the DJ New Style show. See, that's what I was asking you to do.
Oh, it's the DJ New Style show on the Heroes Talk Radio Network, the place to be, and the things you got to do with your hands, place to be.
Thank you. Thank you.
The DJ New Style show.
Whoa! I'm DJ New Style, but let's stop for a second. Just call me Ken. We're gonna be friends here, okay? Online e-pals. We'll do what online friends do. We'll post messages to each other. We'll create threads together. Post images. Play games. I mean, where else could we do that? Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Tumblr? No, none of those places. We'll do it on a message board on HeroesTalk.com. Create your little account, make your little name, and meet me there. All you have to do is go to RadioBronzeFans.com. I'll see you there. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show.
Last time on The What Show...
I bought two lobsters for myself and my brother, and I dropped them in the pot, and they started thrashing, and I swear to God, I almost broke into tears.
I have no problem with lobster. Lobster's like a bug. It's not a real, it doesn't think, it doesn't come up to you. And
my mother came around, she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing, just leave me alone.
I put cigarettes out on a lobster's back.
Tune in to The What Show, 9:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m., exclusively on HeroesTalk.com and the Heroes Talk room on Paltalk. The What Show. What?
The DJ New Style Show.
Huh? Oh, what's good? You're listening to The Chill Spot for hotties. I'm your host, Alex Webbs. You might have been wondering where I've been at. I haven't been doing the show, and in case you haven't seen the thread I posted on the forum requesting, like, well wishes and stuff, you know, then you probably don't know that I've been visiting in Israel. It was a great place with great people and great women, but, trip was awesome, you know what I mean? I met a girl there, she's really cool, and I spent my entire 6-day budget of $213 on fishbowl margaritas, and, well, you can pretty much say we're in love, you know? Let's just say that Alex Webbs is no longer a virgin. But anyway, enough of all this panty dropper talk, let's take a quick call. You're on The Chill Spot. For hotties.
Revolution, man!
Oh, yeah, it's my buddy Josh. What up, Josh? Tell us about the trip.
What?
Why don't you tell us about the resort?
Revolution, man! Fight the power!
Alright, man. Take care. Next caller. Oh, look, it's my baby girl. What's good, Ma? You're on The Chill Spot for hotties. I'm Alex Webbs. Ashley.
Hello?
Yeah, what's good?
Who is this?
It's your boy, Alex Webbs.
I don't remember you. Where do you know me from?
It's Alex, you know. Smiles. Like I smile a lot, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're the guy who won't stop tagging all of my Facebook pictures that feature you in the background?
Yeah, that's it, baby. So, like, when are we gonna kick it next, you know?
Never.
Well, that's all the time we got for The Chill Spot, for hotties. You know, it's just all hotties all over this show tonight. We got Russian techno, and, like, you know, hotties. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Alright, I'm gonna go to the gym, so I'll see you next time. Later. Alright, cut it. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show.
This is exclusive Tuesday night programming that is miraculous on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Why don't you go ahead and download everything we've ever done? Yeah, you can do that. DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Check out the blogs, Twitters, and all that nonsense, mumbo-jumbo type stuff. I appreciate it. Right, Frank? You do, too. You do appreciate it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You tweet. You are a Twitterer. You are.
Is that the proper term, Twitterer?
Yeah, I think so. I don't fucking know. All I know is every online endeavor that we've tried to set out on right now, as far as contests or just getting involved, you know, planning some kind of big release or anything like that, or some kind of bit we're setting up ahead of time, it's just fucking crashed and burned. I mean, you could hear during the last episode summary that we played in the first break. Right now, we should be having Ed McGrath on to tell of his AIDS test results, and he's failed.
The test?
Well, probably, but I mean, he's failed in getting us the results, is what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, what do you expect anything otherwise? I mean, he's afraid.
If he says I'm going to do it, you know, whatever. He's afraid, Frank.
Obviously.
I mean, he's never had to, but you know, but
he's never had to what?
Knock on wood. He knew some folks who had. It made him wonder if he should. Frank, the thing is, Ed McGrath will never come through with the test. I've resigned myself to that. He's never going to do it. I'm never going to promote it again.
Never.
And if he ever just wants to surprise us with this and say, hey, here it is, fantastic. I just know he's not going to do it. I know he won't. Because you know what? There's reasonable fucking worry that he might have AIDS.
Horse.
Yeah.
Well, when you fuck whores in the asshole with no rubber on, there's a good possibility of it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Skype is down. But the number to call is 316-768-4472. If you want to call the show, 316-768-4472. Yeah, our buddy Ed is just letting us down constantly, I would say. The other thing, Frank, Scramble. You really crashed and burned on that fucking thing, didn't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Scramble.
Oh, Scramble.
Yeah, Scramble.
Well, obviously, you know, I had a 105 degree fever that night.
Oh, is this now you're making excuses?
And also, the computer froze for about
sure
30.
Someone
plus.
Who never has a frozen computer and everything works out well technologically wise. This is our buddy from the What Show, Jeff. What's going on, buddy?
HIV negative. Of the What Show.
That's true. That's more than you could say, Ed McGrath. As far as we speculate,
I just wanted to bring up a conversation I have with Frank. Frank,
can you fucking not dramatically sneeze when someone's trying to bring up points?
With my hand.
It didn't do any fucking good. The mic is attached to your head. No matter if you cover it, you're just bringing it closer to your fucking mouth. You fucking idiot. Jeff, I'm sorry. Continue, please. Please continue.
So, we're outside recounting memories of Alex Tippett 88. And we're all smoking. And Frank turns to me and says, you know, you just had a friend who died from cancer. How could you smoke? And ever since I had that conversation with him, every abdominal pain or cough, I'm now in a complete conniption about whether or not I have cancer. So thank you very much, Frank, for putting that in my head.
Now, Frank, you're taking satisfaction in this?
No, I'm not. It's
that
just that
the man is worried that he might be ill because of the things you said?
No. It's all in his mind. But, you know, I just...
It wasn't before! You know, it wasn't before, you dumb fuck.
It's psychosomatic. You know what that means?
Yeah, we all know what it means, Frank. The fact is, you know, you didn't want to give in, did you, Jeff? You made your argument for smoking, and then you kind of let it fester, right?
Well, I mean, to me, smoking is a way of calming the nerves. And after, you know, as you know, a week and a half or so of, you know, just the worst human emotion possible.
Yeah.
Know, grief, I think is, I don't think you can top grief when it comes to awful feelings. You need to unwind with a cigarette. And I really don't need Frank the Germ Freak pointing out the fact that cigarettes give you cancer. It's just one of those things that you do that you know is bad for you, but yet you kind of accept the negative consequences of it in favor of the positive, which is, yeah, you know, stress relief.
Yeah, and I mean, Frank, you're saying this, cigarettes cause cancer. Do you think you're going to say it any better than a cowboy with a hole in his throat singing on a fucking city block? I mean, why bother? The commercials are out there. The information's out there. Everybody knows. Do you think?
Did you think
he was going to say, "Oh shit, you're right"? Too. Do you think he was going to throw it to the ground and stomp on it and say, "You know, thank you, Frank. Thank you."
You've opened my mind.
I'm sorry. Next time I will mind my own business, Jeff. I apologize if I offended you.
And you know what? Next time you take that pack of cigarettes
you
out, Frank.
Me. You just freaked me out a little bit because, you know, one of the things that always struck me as curious while Alex was going through his treatment was that he did smoke. And, you know, I always wanted to say something like, you know, hey, you have cancer. Maybe you should stop smoking. And I never thought it was appropriate, and obviously it was a coping mechanism for him. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, ask Frank how he copes with stress in a way that's more healthy than the way we do.
Frank, I'm going to speak for Frank. He doesn't cope with stress. Frank, you don't deal with stress very well at all, and we all see it.
Right. Sometimes I'll go off on the side and just be solemn for a little bit.
You did it at the table last night.
That's true.
Frank, we said it was every 5 minutes. We'd look over. Frank has his fucking head in his hands.
I see.
And I'd say, Frank, what's wrong? You don't understand, dude. Do you understand? I run a business. Do you understand? I run a business. I'm sorry. I'm eating chicken, and I see a fucking person sitting next to me gripping their bald scalp, just wrought with stress.
You don't have a vice that's unhealthy that, you know, you think maybe you could cut out of your life.
Well, have you noticed my stomach?
I think we all have.
Yeah.
I tend to consume mass quantities.
Yeah.
Of
food, obviously. Food. Just food.
You're saying you're an overeater?
I don't know if I just
Frank, I have a feeling you don't wait for the sensation of being full. In fact, you've probably worn that sensation out. You've probably worn it out because you feel like, okay, I've got food. Okay, I don't feel full yet. I better eat more. Yeah, and then you do that, and then you feel terrible, don't you?
I don't.
I should have eaten that.
I don't smoke. I don't drink. I guess I don't have any devices of that nature. Do you, Ken?
Devices? Yes, I have several. I have a cell phone, iPhone.
No,
I have
do you have
a
any
GPS.
Devices that you utilize when you're feeling stress?
Vices, I think you mean.
Oh,
the GoldenEye device.
You know what? I write things down. I play guitar. I have lots of. I use creative outlets, and then sometimes I just use mind numbing shit. I just fucking. I turn on music and I just fucking turn all the lights out and just stare and
right,
into blackness.
Don't you think it's more unhealthy on your body to bottle up that stress than to release it using something like
Well, let me ask you a question, Jeffrey. So what you're doing is more healthier.
I gotta say, I know people who who have heart disease attributed to high stress levels, which, you know, produce high blood pressure. And you know, I would say doctors would argue that extreme stress has a more deleterious effect on the body than smoking does, yes.
I have had a stress test. I have had a complete physical, and I'm in A1 shape.
Let me... Bullshit, you're shaped like an A.
What shape is that?
You're shaped like the letter A. Frank, let me just ask you something here, okay?
You know, actually, I fucking forgot what I was going to ask you. But no, the point is that you shouldn't be giving fucking advice to what people shouldn't be doing when you obviously have no control mechanism of yourself. I mean, you can't. It's one thing to say, you know, you're going to get cancer if you smoke. I mean, so what?
I also know this cat.
We all know that.
He has an extreme aversion to people smoking marijuana in his presence. Like, an almost like a disgust for them.
I gotta kind of, you know, I don't want to be around it either, you know? But I'm not gonna look down upon people for doing it. You do whatever you need to do. I don't want to be around it, you know? I say no and I go and tell. It's okay. Oh, wait, I don't tell, guys.
Frank,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is it because it's illegal, or do you just find it the smell disgusting? Like, what's your problem with marijuana?
I mean, even when you're walking in the city, sometimes you'll smell that like burning rope smell. To me, if I'm smelling it, or you know, if I'm at like a show or something like that, it's, you know, it's not my thing. I'm not gonna scoff at the person. I'll just try and, you know, distance myself from it or whatever. You know what I mean, Frank? Have you ever been to like a concert or something like that where somebody's engaging in drugs, smoking some drugs? What's your reaction in the, like a public setting where somebody's doing that?
I just looked the other way.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Frank. Frank doesn't want to be seen as, you know, he doesn't want to be seen as unhip to the kids. But let me tell you, Frank. Frank is a fine, upstanding man.
Did you see my Skechers the other night, Ken?
We're going to your shoes. No, You know what I did hear about the other night, Frank, and I heard this from Joey, that you. Engaged in question time and you were basically you were putting on a fucking show for everybody.
I was not putting on a show. I'm not familiar with, Joey is from the streets of Brooklyn. Now he's from the streets of Staten Island, and I've never really been to the streets of Brooklyn, and I wanted to know what Brooklyn was about. And
your question to him was, is Brooklyn dangerous? You're 40 years old. Shouldn't you have your own estimation? Go there. Go there.
I'm scared.
You're scared?
No, I'm just curious. That's all. I want to know if they have lawns. That's all.
I don't know, Frank. Frank,
how about the fantastic questions you're asking our good Egyptian friend Wally?
Oh, I don't know.
Ask him if he's been to the pyramids. And what's the big deal?
You're dead. Have you ever been to the pyramids?
Oh, okay, so this is a classic thing. Whenever Frank finds out your nationality, not even the fact that you live there, that you may happen to be from, let's say you're from Australia, or your parents are Australian, and so you are, by birth, an Australian, he'll ask you, can you tell me what if there's a kangaroo on your lawn? Can you look out the window? Take a picture and email it to me, please. He'll ask you the very basic stereotypes or knowledge bullet points about your nationalities. So somebody says they're Egyptian and you mention fucking Khufu's pyramid.
No. First of all, you call him Wally. His name is actually Walid. And he's been to Egypt, and I asked him about Egypt, as I will most likely never be there in my entire life. I asked him if he's been to the pyramids, so the Sphinx, and he told me about it. I don't see what the problem is, Jeffrey.
It's like asking a black man, do you enjoy barbecue and collard greens, Frank?
Why don't you ask Jeff about the Wailing Wall? I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know. Anyway.
It's something that you need to just fucking let go of, Frank.
Frank, didn't Donna smoke?
Smoke?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't smoke.
She never smoked in her life.
Wow, no. Frank, you are really falling off right now. Do you feel like you're under attack? Is this how you deal with stress?
I'd like something to be changed right now, and I'd like to do a 180.
You don't like when someone calls into question the way you handle stress, Frank. What do you do when you feel stressed? What do you go? What do you do? How do you relieve the stress?
Do you squeeze a ball or something like that? One of those stress balls.
You obviously don't jog.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
It means that you don't jog, Frank. Do you jog?
I run.
Where?
To the refrigerator.
Okay. Anyway.
This is going nowhere fast.
And you know why it's going nowhere, Frank? Do you want to know why it's going nowhere? There are two people speaking to you, and there's nothing coming out.
Why don't we ask you the same question?
Go ahead. Ask me. I've already fucking explained how I deal with stress.
Let me tell you. I go on the internet, and I read about Abraham Lincoln.
If you were genuinely worried for me, which I think you were when you saw me smoking, and you've mentioned it in the past.
Well, you know what, Jeff?
It's the fact that
you hack brown goo into a fucking hanky every 2 seconds is my concern.
I completely agree with you. It's a disgusting habit. It's wreaking havoc on my body, and I understand that completely. But you have to admit that the way in which you handle stress is probably as unhealthy as I do.
Right, Frank? Do you not agree? Do you agree that what you do with handling stress is as damaging? Because you
it's
should.
Damaging to myself is not damaging to others.
Okay, that, you know what, trying to put up with you?
That's something completely different. So my smoking was not so much you worried about
I have
me,
two words for you, secondhand
you.
Smoke.
Is that what it is about? You're more concerned with your personal health than mine?
That's why he...
You notice what I was doing to a particular individual who was smoking cigarettes as I was blowing the cigarette smoke away from my face?
No, I wasn't there, Frank. Can you explain?
An individual was smoking, and I just kept blowing the smoke out of my face. That's all.
Frank, you were standing next to me. You could have walked away.
Yeah.
Well, you were telling an interesting story.
And not to mention the fact that we were outside, which I think, you know, if you're going to smoke anywhere, it'd probably be outside, the least harmful place to smoke around other people.
After a while, you were eating scraps of food off other people's plates, which kind of revolted me as well.
Yeah, but Frank, the whole point is you can't fucking tell somebody to not do something if you're doing equal damage to yourself.
Jeff, I will never mention anything to you like that again. I'm sorry if I offended you.
And stop making such a fucking...
Frank, it's not about offending me. What it's about is I don't think you have a means to vent.
Okay. Are you saying I don't have a right to vent?
No, a means. You don't vent.
Your blood pressure and maybe, you know, leads to something pretty dangerous. Hypertension, yeah. Heart attack.
Here's what he's saying. He's saying that you don't vent. Not that you don't have a right to vent. You just actually do not vent. And then it builds up and builds up. And I don't know what you do to be able to live another day after it reaches that fucking peak. But you don't ever let it out. You just fucking yell and scream and sit and fucking hold your head. And you never actually fucking let the stress out. You don't relieve it.
And let's be honest, you're not in the best of shape. So I'm afraid that one day, you know, the combination of the excess weight plus the stress is going to lead to something major, even critical.
Well, I appreciate your concerns. I truly do.
Well, what are you going to do, Frank? What are some things that you think you should do to maybe alleviate some of the stress in your life?
Well, I was thinking about taking a rubber band and putting it on my wrist and snapping it.
That, you really think that's going to be effective? You're going to break it when the first time. I mean, the first time you're going to get so fucking furious, you're going to pull it 3 feet from your wrist and let go. It's going to just be torn. Right. You need to come up with a hobby.
See it, maybe, you know, do a little yoga.
Would you do yoga with me?
Why does he have to? Why is it anytime something is called into question about you, that person has to do it with you?
Haven't we had a discussion about yoga?
No, the thing is, no, we've had a discussion about you improving your wardrobe, and then you asked Jeff to take you out shopping.
Oh, yes,
now Jeff is inquiring about your stress level and your health.
I don't know how
to
do
now,
yoga. I need
now Jeff
to
has to
me.
Do downward facing dog next to you. I don't fucking understand. What is it? Why is it that you can't fucking just do this for yourself?
Because I don't know how to do things by myself. Don't you understand? I need you to take me to New York and get my ticket for me?
It's because you won't do it for yourself. Do you understand, Frank? You won't do anything for yourself.
Do it for your kids, Frank, unless you want to see them grow up.
All right. You know what? This is getting a little uncomfortable, and I'd like the conversation to end right now.
very well.
I see.
Thank you for letting me on, then.
Okay, I mean, you know, you were looking out for Jeff's health. Jeff's only looking out for your health.
I wasn't really looking out for his health. I was just trying to be sarcastic.
I see. Well, you know, maybe he's being sarcastic. Maybe he truly doesn't give a shit if you do fucking Pilates or yoga or whatever it is. And maybe he's just trying to show you what it's like. Because I would imagine, I don't smoke, I never did, but I would imagine smokers constantly are barraged with the, you know it's going to kill you. You know that's good. You know it's bad for you.
I used to wake up, Ken. My dad would take newspaper clippings and place it on my pillow about the dangers of smoking, statistics, people who have died, horror stories, and whatnot. I know firsthand what it's like to live with.
Have you spoken to your father lately?
I have not.
Oh.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you for derailing that, Frank. Very good.
It's awkward.
What if your kids start taking them smoking? What are you going to say?
My kids will not begin to smoke because I will raise them not to smoke.
My father raised me not to smoke. It doesn't work.
Yeah, if you listen, Frank, that's actually what he was explaining. You didn't want to do it. You wanted to get a quick quip in about Jeff's dad.
No, not at all. You know, my daughter is already deathly afraid. She won't even go near somebody who is, you know, she won't
but
go near somebody.
Is that a good way to be deathly afraid or, you know, informed and knowledgeable?
Oh, she's informed as well.
But she's deathly afraid of something. Do you understand?
Right. Do you remember when I used to, I had a pack of cigarettes in here and I would mimic me smoking?
Yes, I do remember that very well.
She wouldn't come into my office because it was a pack of unlit cigarettes in my office. All right,
I taught her well,
my friend. Taught her well.
You know, eventually, when she sees that they're not so evil because she's hanging out with people that smoke, she'll probably say, oh, this is another thing my dad said.
Not only that, Ken, not only is it not evil, the social acceptance, that little boost in popularity.
Is smoking still
gets
considered cool among youngsters?
I don't know if it's considered cool. I certainly don't think it is. It's just something that people do, and there's no stigma to it.
No, it's definitely cool. I'm not going
to
lie.
You know what, Jeff? You're an over-exaggerator when it comes to smoking. I've noticed this. You will turn your head sideways.
Don't ask me, Ken. Poll your audience. Like, you got people in your own room saying smoking is cool. Way cool, in fact.
Well, that's Wes. I mean, he fucking eats tobacco cereal for breakfast. but no, I mean, like, you'll say a couple lines, inhale, and then exhale through the side of your face, squint, and then say a punchline. Like, it's very much part of your act. It is.
What, am I dying?
No, but it's part of your persona. When you're smoking, you'll like raise an eyebrow or something like that. You sneer when you smoke.
I don't know what you're saying, but it sounds funny. I can't see myself doing it, but I'm not going to deny that it happened.
Okay, here's the challenge going out right now. If you're ever around Jeff and he's smoking and he's talking to you, you're in a conversation, take a picture of his face. Whenever you see exactly what I'm talking about, a raised eyebrow, a sneer, some kind of like chin tilt, and a very exaggerated smokestack puff of smoke, like a fire dancer.
I have to ask, is it gay to know all my facial tics when I'm smoking?
Oh! That's a very good question. Very good question. Let's see, Frank.
He was studying you.
I do.
I will admit, I do study as well.
Is it gay? To look at a friend speaking to you and memorize their fucking idiosyncrasies. Frank, if you memorize somebody's facial tics and idiosyncrasies, is it gay?
Oh, it's definitely gay.
Interesting.
The fact that you have it memorized and are reiterating it in chronological order is awful.
Hold on. Can we just start a new bit? Is it appropriate? Because I want to ask this question. Is it appropriate while waiting by in the waiting room while your friend is dying of cancer for a certain germaphobe to comment on your wardrobe?
Yeah, because honestly, let's get this straight here. You rushed so quickly to the hospital that you forgot you were wearing an arch smock. And Frank, I was the one who said smock.
No, fuck you! I said the word smock.
Bullshit, motherfucker! I said
smock.
Hey,
you said
you bald
class.
Fuck. You bald.
You know what? Go fuck
you
yourself.
You stressed
I
out
said,
bald
you
motherfucker.
Said art class and I said smock.
Yeah.
You said art class and I said smock.
Okay, that Frank.
I'm sorry, Frank, that I didn't pack my tuxedo for this occasion.
No, Jeff. This is the cot calling the kettle black.
The cot? Right? It's the
you,
cot calling. The
are you calling the kettle blah, 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 like you said on Sunday?
Listen to me. You always ridicule me about what I wear and how I don't dress well.
And when he did it, Frank, you called it gay. So let me ask you this, Frank. Let me ask you this question: is it gay to and keep in mind what you did and what you said about Jeff. Is it gay to mock someone based on their clothing that they're wearing?
It is not gay if that person mocks you first.
That's like saying it's not gay to fuck another dude in the ass if he's already been in yours.
Well, what you do in your private time, new style, is your own business.
No, I'm likening what you just said to an extremely, undoubtedly gay situation.
All right, give us your opinion of the shirt, Ken.
I don't think it's gay to make fun of somebody's clothes. You did. That's the thing. You said it was. I thought it was a very funny thing to say that it looks like he is still wearing his dad's shirt in an art class, which is implied that it's a fucking smock.
No,
and for you to
I
fucking
said the
say
word smock.
Smock.
It's only
for you to
when
say
the word
smock.
Smock is said.
No.
Because smock is a funny word.
It takes you around to the word smock. You fuck. I will not have you take credit for smock.
You know what?
When you're in the hospital with heart disease, inevitable heart disease from hypertension and stress, I'll be sure to dress to impress.
And what about the fucking smorgasbord of hospital food? You
I gotta
fucking,
say
this son of a bitch. He was fucking.
Say.
He had a fucking salad. He poured about three quarts of Russian dressing on it, and he was eating with his fucking.
We were gone for. We saw him in there, you know, watching, you know, talking with some people. We were gone 10 minutes. We come back. There is an entire table covered with prepackaged snacks, and on top of it is a salad. There was beef jerky, which, by the way, was decent beef jerky at a hospital. It's the best hospital jerky you'd ever find.
You have to balance out the high fructose corn syrup and the extra sodium with a nice salad. That's how
but
I.
But Jeff, I have two words for you. Okay, fork and knife.
Here's the whole thing. Jeff wanted to eat all that shit by himself, but he said, I got it for everybody. That's the thing. I got the Fritos, sunflower seeds, beef jerky, fucking hamburger out of a vending machine, whatever.
Cashews,
yeah, everything. Just an entire card table filled with snacks. And we were only gone 10 minutes. He bought everything that wasn't fucking nailed down.
And Ken, you will admit that watching him consume the salad with his fingers wasn't a very pleasant thing to watch.
I mean, it was only it wasn't pleasant because this meal, this feast, this hospital fucking feast that he bought supposedly for everybody was being consumed by him. He was the only one eating it. People were picking just to make him not feel bad. But he didn't give a shit anyway.
And I have reservations of even consuming hospital food as well.
But if it was prepackaged, though.
Hermetically sealed.
Yeah. What's so... Oh, by the way, Frank, I found out that infectious waste, the pants I wore, there was a garbage can, Jeff, I don't know if you were aware of it, that was labeled infectious waste, and there was something sticking out of it. It touched my jeans. And those were the jeans I wore over your house last night, Frank. I don't wash jeans for very long time.
Is that the drop that was left on Frank's chair?
I probably in addition to, I would say. I don't wash
on a completely different note, Ken. When I found out Alex had passed and that I was going to need to take the weekend off because for some reason my clients. Feel the need to impose on me 7 days a week. I said to them, I won't be around this weekend. I have, a funeral to attend and so forth. and you know, I really can't be taking calls. And their response was, "Well, how's the work gonna get done?"
You motherfuckers! You motherfuckers!
Because like, there's some people when you tell them something like that, it doesn't register on an emotional level, like what that would mean for someone.
Yeah.
How's the work gonna get done? I don't know. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. These are the same motherfuckers who will get
important.
Well, see, I hear about this when people they work for themselves and they have clients. These are the people that will get fucked up on at a New Year's party and then decide to go into the office and do something, fuck something up, and then call you the next day and say, "Hey, it looks like something's broken." These miserable motherfuckers think that you're at their fucking beck and call, regardless of what's going on in your fucking life. You know,
has that ever happened to you? Like you know, something serious is happening in your life, and you ask for a couple of days off to cope and grieve and whatever. And
in college,
just completely like unsympathetic.
In college, I had to email professors and say that I wasn't going to be in because my sister had passed, and most of them were very cool. Like, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Let me know if there's anything you need." But this one motherfucker,
you bring a death certificate.
This one motherfucker goes, "Well, you better try and get notes." That's all. That was his whole fucking response. I'm explaining to you that I lost a fucking core member of my immediate family, and I better go get notes. Motherfucker, you better go find a fucking security guard. I'm saying this now. Those are my thoughts. I didn't actively stalk the man, but like I could have reached through the fucking screen. You know, every time someone is so mad when reading text, they want to reach through the screen. You're just going to damage your screen and your hands. You're really not going to affect them. If anything, this was an act you wanted to commit against them. They'll get wind of it and laugh at you for ruining your property and your fucking flesh. It's a bad move. Don't reach through screens. Frank, you got to work on your stress.
I will do that.
What are you going to do?
Well, like I said, I will start off with the rubber band on my hand. I will get a rubber ball and squeeze it.
I think you should go to the stapler. Every time you feel stressed, just mash a stapler right into your palm. And just see if you can take it.
I'll try that out.
Do you ever do it?
Definitely try that out.
You did that before, didn't you? That was so that was so fucking pathetic.
It seems to be working.
You did it against the desk, Frank. Oh. Come on. Everybody knows. Anyway, Jeff, the What Show's on Friday nights. But I have to commend you on your tribute to Alex.
And I got to commend him for this this tightwad son of a bitch. You know, he purchased these shirts, and it was very nice of you.
Yeah, I emailed Leslie at onegift.org. That's the charity to send Barb and Alex on their vacation to Bermuda shortly before he died. Great institution. We're going to try to get those shirts up for purchase so people can own one for themselves.
Yeah, and if you want to do something possible. If you want to do something nice, you should go to onegift.org. That's onegift.org and give a little money. You know, I mean, they're a good organization, and they do help out. They make people's dreams come true. And it's really nice. It's a great operation, and you should do whatever you can for them.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff, I appreciate it. Friday night, 9:30 to 12:30. Okay. See ya. All right, I hung up on him before he could say anything else, but I realized he already said goodbye. I already did. Frank, I got to say.
Yeah, but what happens is the first person who says goodbye usually says goodbye again after you say goodbye.
Yeah, but that up. That, it's true, but like if I say a little extra after you say goodbye, you have to say goodbye again.
Right, and you didn't let him say goodbye again.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
but,
so
I mean, he said goodbye, you know?
Well, that's just a preemptive goodbye.
He didn't want to hear any of my shit. That's what that is. He didn't want to hear any more of my fucking shit. Just like you, Frank. There are times when you are very set in your fucking ways.
Yeah.
And you don't want to listen. You don't ever want to listen. You think you're the best at video games. You think you're the fucking king of Wii for some reason. Like, this is a really impressive thing to be.
I kicked your first. I never played that fucking game. I kicked your fucking ass in that game, Frank.
In what the sword fighting?
Anything we
so.
Played. The
You're
sword
a fucking
fighting.
Liar. I beat you in the sword fighting.
I destroyed you.
You're a fucking liar.
I destroyed you, Frank.
You and the horse you rode in on.
You need updated. You need updated lines. You really do. When you're reaching for lines from Meatballs 3. You should really start to think of new shit, please. I don't know. The one thing I wanted to say, Frank, is that you suck at video games, and I've destroyed you in front of your family and friends.
Nah, they were sleeping at the time. Oh. And you know what you did, you son of a bitch.
What did I do?
When you found out we're gonna play Wii, you said make sure your kids are sitting there front and center, yeah. So they can watch me destroy.
Front and
you.
Center, just like it's gonna be when I knock you out in your fucking foyer. This was episode 229 of the DJ New Style Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to just say that I'm always going to miss Alex. Whenever I see the number 88, I'm going to think of Alex. And we will never forget him. Frank, is there anything that you would like to say?
But this is us. Yeah, no. Anything you want to say, Ken?
Just one thing. 88. Oh, and I also want to say, Mr. Love Kim can suck my fucking dick, you bald Michael Berryman looking motherfucker.
I said that! Woo! I said that! That was my line!
Fuck you!
Michael Berryman! Look it up, people!
You
the
Dutch!
Bills have eyes!
You Dutch motherfucker, get off my fucking dick! You fucking old grandma voice faggot! Shut your fucking mouth!
If you guys are not gonna control this, I don't want
to. I'm tired of having arguments happen in my Pal Talk room! I'm gonna start banning you! Take it in PMs! I've got a couch to sleep on! Look at me, I'm cammed up sleeping on a leopard print couch! Oh, let me type DJ Newstyle's name in Twitter for a 15th time today! You bald motherfucker, shut your fucking dumb fucking mouth! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hot shot! Hot shot! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!